Would you go to Matthew 7, verse 6, please? Matthew 7, 6. It seems the common denominator of the current movies is comic. Just about every big hit movie based on the story of the comic books, no longer great novels, comic books, and portraying the superheroes like Superman, Spider-Man, Wolverine, Ant-Man, Hulk, and Thor, and X-Men, etc. Probably I left out many other superheroes. Why they are special? Because they have this special capability, or they were born with it, or they got hit by lightning, or X-ray, whatever that is. They got this super strength and capabilities. And making rest of human, regular human like us, like a nothing. But in the Bible, we do not have a super. God used average Joe, average Jane, just anybody, like you and me. It is not the person who makes the difference. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers that person, anoints that person, giving a capability and determination to the job of God and work for God. He is the one who equips us with the power. He is the one who gives us the will to do the. It's been said, so you may have heard this, the Bible is a floodlight. It provides me the big picture. It is a spotlight. It focuses me on the center stage. It is a security light. It protects me from hidden danger. It is a street light. It illuminates my path. It is a night light. It drives out my fears. The Bible is a headlight. It keeps me between the white lines of God's will. It is a searchlight. It rescues the lost. It is a sharp light. It finds my problems. The Bible does not teach us how to cast spell to solve the problem immediately. Sometimes we wish it happened that way, quickly, immediately, the way we want it. But it doesn't. Rather, the Holy Spirit, the author of this book, teach us to ask, seek, and knock continuously. Our Lord shows us to simply rely on Him, not on our capability, not on ourselves, but during our weaknesses. Keep your finger in the book of Matthew. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Therefore, I take pleasure in what? Infirmity. In other words, Apostle Paul is saying, when I am sick, I take a pleasure. He's like, wow, this guy is in La La Land. In reproaches, in need, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. How can he say that? Because he relies on God's strength, not on his own. We should do. Before we get to the verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7, we must not neglect verse 6 because it is important. We'll stop here before we go in there. Father, you are not expecting us to do fly around the world with a cape or crushing the wall with a single fist. You're the one who is making those things happen. You're the one who opened up the sea. You're the one who brought the manna to the sea. Or simply provide us, Father, let us look unto you, asking you, seeking your will, and knocking on the door of heaven, that we may hear from you. We may know your heart. Father, we are asking you now, your anointing to be upon us. Open our heart to receive your truth, and anointing to be upon the one who speaks. Father, we pray that we may hear you, not our own thought. Father, we also pray that your salvation to be upon President Obama, so stop doing the ungodly things, rather doing what is right in your sight. we ask your same request to the, all the peoples in, who are in authority. And we pray for the election. We're asking your will be done. And we're asking your protection for the, our soldiers and airmen and marines and sailors. And praying for the law enforcement who risk their lives daily, and also for the firefighters. Protect them, Lord. We pray all this in verse 6 of chapter 7 in the book of Matthew. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you. No, the most powerful word is, the most powerful of all words is a fitly spoken. A right word that meets the precise need of the occasion. You guys remember Mark Twain, right? Early 20th century American writer, Huckleberry Finn. He is a wordsmith himself. He knows how to shape the word just right and put it in the right place. He said this. I love the way he said it. The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between the lightning and the lightning bug. That's quite a difference, isn't it? Much could be said about the word that Jesus spoke. They could be called radical, controversial, idealistic, and even enigmatic. But they could never be called dull or drab. So let me say this. If there is any pastors or Bible teachers who make the gospel of Jesus Christ dull and boring, it's not the problem of what Jesus said in the gospel. It is the fault of the pastors and teachers. And some of you are thinking, oh yeah, listen to you. Case in point, right? Here in verse 6, Jesus even went one step further. He's telling us to be careful with what we do with the truth. We are not supposed to share our truth with someone who is not willing to listen to or despising the truth. Have you met someone who arms crossed and they don't want to hear you? I've seen them, I've met them, I've talked with them before. The Lord who urged us to take the gospel to the end of the earth warns us against the casting our pearls before swine. And he who warns against the judging others is the very one who is calling them name. And you may think that calling other people name is wrong. Well, Jesus did. Keep your finger there and go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. So you're thinking, okay, I can call other people name. Be careful what kind of name you are using. 23 verse 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Stop there. Of course, Jesus is not discouraging us from the sharing the gospel with others, nor he's telling us to judge other people's salvation status. That's no-no. Unless this person shows the fruit of their life that contradict against the fruit of a Christian. Have you seen somebody who said, I'm a Christian, but that person's life displayed not anything but being a Christian? I'm sure you've seen them. He's telling us to judge other people's, he's not telling us to judge other people's salvation status, but he's telling us, let our lives shine before this. What Jesus is telling us is that those who don't want to hear the truth of God have such a dead spirit in their heart that it is a waste of time for us to speak to them about the good news of Jesus Christ. If people have had plenty of opportunities to hear the truth and do not respond to it, if they stubbornly and continuously turn their back on Christ, then they are taking themselves in the roles of dogs. We should not go on and on with them because we cheapened God's gospel by letting them trample it underfoot. This gives us important application. discernment must accompany our declaration of the. And you may say, okay, I have a coworker who is absolutely against what I believe, and he makes fun of my belief. What do? Pray. Tattle him on God. Okay? Tell God, Lord, sick him. Let that person have no rest in his heart. So the only way he can turn or she can turn to find the peace. And you may say, that doesn't sound like a Christian. Yeah, it is. Apostle Paul said, I turn them over to Satan. Their body might be destroyed, but their soul might. Do you know that's what I pray for some of the backslidden Christians on Friday morning? You don't want to be on my Friday prayer list. Because I pray that that person will be tortured by the Holy Spirit in their heart. So they literally come back to God and find the peace. When I was young in the Lord, I thought, it is my duty, solemn duty, to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. I had this without tactfulness, without guidance of the Holy Spirit. So I started to bombard people's head with the Bible verses that I memorized. Was it right? Absolutely not. Unless the Lord build a house, the builders labors in vain. Unless the Lord watch over the city, watchman's labor is in vain. Psalmist said. Unless the Holy Spirit leads that me or you to that person and soften their hearts so that they can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are wasting our time. How do we know? That's when our time with the Lord, while we spend the time with the Lord, we get to know His heart, and we will know that the Holy Spirit telling us, you see that person? Okay. Go talk to that person. He look grumpy. Go talk to that person. There was a situation. I gave an altar call. Nobody raised their hand, so what else is new, right? And then after the service, I saw one man standing, hanging around over there. I didn't know him very well. I went over there. I called his name. Isn't it about time come to know Christ? Haven't you made enough mess in your life? And why do I say that? I don't even know this guy. Somehow, the Holy Spirit led me to say that. And he dropped his head, that was not me. Would I be that blunt? Yeah, I would be that blunt. But lately, ever since I became a pastor in 2001, my attitude became, now I am learning to hear from the when the I learned to, don't try to do it with your own strength. When you do it with your own strength, you will crash. But then again, you get to learn from that, right? All right, let's continue. Ask, and it will be given to you. And seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks, fine, and to him who knocks, it will be open. You all have heard this sermon about ask, seek, and knock by pastors and Bible teachers. It already has its own application. It has its own principles. However, if we are not careful, we don't realize what the context is. Remember, we have to keep all the verses in context. So let's go over, before we go into that any further, let's go over the in context, from verse 1 of chapter 7, 1 through 5, Jesus gave us warning that we will be judged according to the measure of judgment we hand out to others. In verse 6, He's telling us not to give a truth to those who don't want to hear. From verse 7 through 12, He's teaching us how to ask God persistently and seek His will, knock on the door of heaven to discern each situation. Again, keep your finger there and go to James chapter 1, verse 5, please. Turn to right before 1 Peter. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to them. If you lack in wisdom, simply ask and believe that you will receive from him. All right, back to context. In verse 13 through 14, we'll learn that the scripture shows about the choice between popular road that leads to the destruction and unpopular road that leads to eternal life in heaven. Verse 15 through 23, Jesus teaches us about the fruit of individual who will receive for their final judgment from the ultimate judgment. We need to keep this in context. Notice the escalation of the urgency. Ask, seek, and knock. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It does not say, when you have a time, if you feel like, ask God, or when you have nothing to do, knock, or seek. Please keep in mind the Greek verb are present imperative. And you're thinking, say what? Okay, let me explain. The present imperative is often called for the long-term commitment that calls for the attitude or action to be judged to be one's lifestyle. In other words, it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment to continue. Not just once, it's over and over and over. We continuously ask God, seek God, continuously knock on God's door. Nowhere in the scripture, are we told that not to come again and again to God in prayer. I know some Bible teachers said, you ask God once and you can walk away and have a faith in God. No, according to what we just read, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, and keep on asking. God is encouraging us to come to him persistently and continuously and boldly. And you may say, where do you find it? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is right after Colossians in 17, verse 17. Has a three words in the verse. Simple enough for you to memorize, right? Pray without what? Ceasing. All right. Turn to right, book of Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of... All right, let's go one at a time for about the asking, seeking, knocking. Prayer is like asking in that we simply make our request known to God. And everyone who asks receives one of the three answers. What are they? Yes, no, the one who we hate. Wait. Receiving this is the reward of asking. All right, go to 1 John chapter 5, please. So how do we ask? Let me explain. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to our will. Does it say that? What does it say in your Bible? His will. According to his will, he hears us. Then what? Verse 15. Then if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Here's a secret for you. If you want your prayer to be answered every time you ask, ask according to God's will. It sounds profound, but it's not. Ask according to his will, then he will answer. If our prayer request is not in the will of God, then he will say no. Folks, the wisest things that we can do at that point is stop asking for. If we insist, listen to me please. If we insist, demand God, he will simply give it to us. When we get our wish, it will be the worst thing we will ever have. It will haunt us. It will destroy us. Have you ever had that situation before? I have. I demand God to, I was not even Christian, but he was training me for this. I demand God to let me have that computer, $10,000 computer. Why? Could I afford it? No. But he, since I was begging and crying and all that stupidity, he let me have it. And was I in pain? I learned. I've learned that not to demand God to do what I want. Always ask for his will. If there's any pastor or Bible teacher that says, don't ask for God's will, that person is telling you prayer is like a seeking in that we search after God, his word and his will, not our will. And he who seeks, finds. And the finding is the reward of seek. Prayer is like a knocking until the door is open. And we seek entrance into the great heavenly throne room of our great King. Entering through the open door into his room is the reward of knocking. And the best reward of all. This is where we get to have intimate communion with our God through his word. This is where we get to learn the heart of God. And then we are more in tune with the Holy Spirit. So when he speaks, we know what he... So let me give you two... Let's pray first. Remember, you probably said, you heard somebody saying, all we have is praying. All we have left is praying. No, that should be the... Weary of the things happening in your life and your family? Not sure about what's happening in the United States and around the world? And it's going in the tailspins? Our God would love to talk to you about. Second thing, let's pray most. Okay? Let's pray most. Did God call us to preach without ceasing? Or teach without ceasing? Or have a community meeting without ceasing? Or sing without ceasing? No, he said, pray with us. One more thing. Did Jesus declare that my house will be called a house of preaching, house of worship, or house of activities? What did he say? My house should be called house of what? Prayer. Exactly. So, let's pray first. Pray most. Ask, seek, and knock in prayer. Amen? Which brings us to another principle. Persistence must characterize our prayers. So when it comes to prayer, don't be timid. Be persistent. And count on God to come through. So what do? You ask God. You talk about the situation. And then ask, your will be done. That's the best way to pray. Are you with me? Go down to verse 9, please. Now we have a word picture. Of what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread and will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who... Jesus' desire is to explain how very trustworthy our Heavenly Father is. Again, the Lord is using this simple argument style, using the lesser to the greater style. And even an earthly father, being essentially evil and selfish, sinful human being, taking care of their own children, how much more good and wonderful Father in heaven will take care. We are, after all, we are his children. And he's simply telling us, depend on the Father. As you pray to the Father, Heavenly Father, it is important to keep two things in mind. God will answer our prayer according to his will. You can demand all you want. God will answer. And second thing, God will answer them in his time. time. Say it with me, in His time. Put that in your heart. Like we've been thinking that, yeah, the building will be done in January. Then we push it to the end of March, and then end of April. And then we finally got it. Oh yeah, it will be done according to His time. It will be done according to His time. And don't be discouraged. Just be persistent. And that many faith movement teachers abuse this portion of the scripture as well as Matthew 21:22 to point out that God is obligated to answer your prayer according to your prayer request. That is far from the truth. God will answer, remember what I said, according to His will, according to His time. He is not our errand boy. Their prosperity gospel is a heresy. To follow that, you have to ignore what Jesus said, Paul, James, Peter, and John said in the New Testament. Okay, that leaves Luke and Mark. Problem with their accounts, that is, that Luke was close to Apostle Paul. And Mark was right behind on the footstep of the Apostle Peter. There lives no New Testament author standing with their theology. There's no way in the world they can prove their theology according to the Bible. Go down to verse 12, please. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law. And in verse 12, Jesus shifted from the vertical relationship to the horizontal relationship with other people. Much has been said of various people. In fact, the golden rule is found in similar form elsewhere, but always in negative format. Let me explain. Confucius, a Chinese philosopher, said, "Do not to others what you would not wish done to yourself." And Greek scholars said this, "Do not do to anyone what you yourself would hate." And ancient Jewish rabbi Hillel said, "What is hateful to you, do not to anyone else. This is the whole law. All the rest is only." And you may say, what's the difference between do and don't? Do is not passivity, but it's activity. Do this. It's not no insignificant point. Just treat people the way you want to be treated. When I was a chaplain for the Pima County Sheriff Department, I ride with some of the deputies. I learned a very simple thing. If they are nice, deputies treat them very politely. When they start to show attitude, guess what? These guys have authority, and they can give them hard time. Same thing. If you want to be treated nicely, treat other people. All of our problems start with a selfish pride within. I know more than they do. I deserve this better than they do. Really? What makes you think that? Jesus is commanding us to do otherwise. Are you with me? All right. Let's make this thing very simply. If you are having relationship problem with your family member or friends, you might be right in the fact and having the truth on your side. But your approach may not. It is not what you say, but it is how it is not what you say or what you do. It is the how you say, how you do. Remember, you all raise children. We have to teach children say, please. Remember? Because they don't, naturally, we like to tell other people, do this. How about, would you? Please? More polite. You can get more mileage by simply being polite. This leads to another important principle. Modeling must accompany our message. Modeling must accompany, especially when you're dealing with unbelievers. You as a born-again Christian, and they know you, that you are born-again Christian, you must present yourself according to, you must present yourself in such a way that you bring the glory. You cannot treat the other unbelievers because, well, they're going to burn in hell, so I'm going to treat them however I want to treat. No. Treat them nicely, and they see you are different. So they may say, I want to have what that person. Three applications. Since we already talked about it, I'm going to just sum it up. Discernment must accompany our declaration of the gospel of Jesus. In past 30 years, as I was walking with the Lord, I learned a very important principle regarding the witnessing to unbeliever. It's not my biblical knowledge or argument that saved them. It is the Holy Spirit who opened their spiritual eyes and hearts. Nevertheless, God honors individual final choices, that person's choice to follow Him, follow God or not. The consequences of a bad choice are on them, not on them. That brings to the next thing. Persistence must characterize our prayers. Persistence must characterize our prayers. Ask, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on praying. Third, modeling must accompany our. In other words, talk is cheap. You can say all you want that you are Christian, but if you don't present yourself right in front of unbelievers, your message doesn't mean a thing. Are you with me? Your message must be accompanied by the way you live, the way you talk, the way you handle things.